station.
Sam!
Sponsored by Enjoy Vision, a fresh perspective.
What is good, everybody? Welcome into the 73rd Hole Masters Edition. Sam Humphries with you as always. And this 73rd radio show, as always, is sponsored by Enjoy Vision. Save $400 off LASIK at enjoywithme.com. That's enjoywithme.com using promo code SAM400. Let me welcome in my co-host, two-time state champion from Chickasha, Oklahoma, T-Dub. How are you enjoying Masters Week?
Sam, what's up, buddy? We got 36 holes left of the best golf tournament in the world. We also have the greatest golfer of all time, Tiger Woods, with 36 more holes left to play. So it is a glorious day. I'm not sure how it gets much better on this beautiful Saturday morning.
That's right. And speaking of this beautiful Saturday morning, let's head to Augusta and bring in my dad, the Hump Man, Craig Humphries, movie star from TV yesterday.
The Sports Animals coverage from Augusta is presented by Johnson's of Kingfisher, Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, and Ram. Same name, same family since 1927. And brought to you in part by Kicking Bird Golf in Edmond, where the municipal golf experience has been completely redefined. Kicking Bird Golf. Now here's Craig Humphries live from Augusta on the Sports Animal.
Thank you very much, Big Voice Guy. Sam and T-Dub, always good to be with you. I did hear my man Jim Lowry and I got some TV time yesterday on number 15 watching the tee shot of Scottie Scheffler as he had to back off three or four times because of wind gust. Guys that I've never seen in my 35 years of going to the Masters, that wind was crazy, crazy yesterday. But I'm sure we'll talk all about it. But always happy to be on with the guys from the 73rd hole. And, folks, if you're not listening to the 73rd hole, whether it's the podcast with Jim Woodward or the radio show, Sam and Taylor Williams do a great, great job. That's why they were honored a few years ago, also along with Colby Powell, as the top golf podcast in the country. And their radio show is really good. And I've said this many times, T-Dub. Taylor Williams is the most knowledgeable golf expert that I have ever been around, and I've been around most of them. No one follows the game, loves the game, knows more about the game, knows all the stats about the game like Taylor Williams. So, T-Dub, always an honor to be with you.
Couldn't appreciate that more, Hump Man. About to make me tear up here. But like I said, with you being at Augusta for 35 straight years, it's hard to beat the knowledge that you'll be able to bring with us today. So I am honored to get this conversation going and see exactly where it leads this hour that we have.
No doubt, fellas. Well, let's dive right into the leaderboard. We have a three-way tie at the top between Max Homa, Bryson DeChambeau, and Scottie Scheffler. Let's start off with Max Homa. Max Homa looks like a different guy. And yes, there was a time last year where we were debating, is Max Homa the best player who has not won a major yet, even better than Xander Schauffele at times last year? Xander kind of took that role again this year with his consistent play. But at the first major championship, T-Dub, of 2024, I'm watching that golf the last 2 days, and Max Homa looks like a cold-blooded assassin out there. He's not the fun-loving guy. Yes, he's like that off the course, but on the course this week, he seems like he's on a mission. He seems confident in himself. I don't see fun-loving Max Homa from 4 years ago being grouped with Tiger Woods and going out there and doing what he did. This year, Max Homa's a different guy, and he has one of the best swings on tour, but he finally figured out the 6 inches between the ears, it seems like.
It seems that maybe him getting in and playing so well in the Ryder Cup last year may have been a big thing for him, very similar to what it was for Scottie Scheffler when he was on the Whistling Straits team that won, because what did he go 4-1 last year at the Ryder Cup and made a very clutch putt there. It obviously ended up not mattering at the end of the day. But still, that's the kind of confidence you need being around the best players in the world and show that you can do it. And one thing that we talked about ad nauseum, Sam, going into this tournament is how much course history matters at Augusta National. And going up to this point, his best finish in the Masters had been a tied for 43rd. So we're thinking, okay, well, Max Homa, he's going to have to show us something before then. and hadn't even really just been the Masters at all, Sam. He'd only had two majors with better than top 15 finishes. He finished 13th at Southern Hills, the PGA Championship, and finished 10th last year at the Open Championship, where Brian Harman won. But other than that, his best finish had been 40th at the 2021 British Open. So not very much good major experience, whether it be Augusta National or any of the other big three events. But here, what he's been able to do this week has been phenomenal, gaining more than two shots on the greens and gaining more than 2.5 shots approach. So when you're hitting it close and making a lot of putts, that's a very good combination. He's only made 3 bogeys so far through the 36 holes, which is very, very good outplaying in those conditions, and made up for it because when he played with Tiger at the last British Open, that was at St. Andrews, he played very poorly and missed the cut. So being able to go out playing with the greatest golfer of all time and able to go out with the lead after that is very, very telling on how much his mental game has progressed to this point.
No, I couldn't agree more with what you're saying right there, T-Dub. And Max Homa, Dad, his previous best 36-hole positions in major championships, the 2023 Open where he was tied for 11th, he finished tied for 10th. That's his best finish in a major championship. At the 22 PGA at Southern Hills, he was tied for 17th, finished 13th. At the 23 PGA Championship, he was tied for 35th after 36 and finished 55th. He's never been in a position like this. How do you think he'll handle it the next 2 days on Saturday and Sunday at the Masters?
I think he'll handle it well. Yesterday, on a day where, I mean, there were a lot of bogeys on the card, because with the wind blowing like that, you make the smallest mistake in the world and you put yourself, you know, on the wrong side of the hole or in a bad position, you're going to bogey the hole. Yesterday, Max Homa had one bogey, right, on number 11. I mean, he birdied 2 and 4 and he had one bogey. And number 11 traditionally has been, you know, one of the toughest holes out here. If not the toughest, in the last 3 years, number 5 has been the toughest overall. But number 11 is a tough, tough hole. And if that's your only bogey, that's a pretty good round of golf here at Augusta National. So, hey, what have we always said about Homa? I mean, about this golf course. It's a second-shot golf course. Well, Max Homa and Tiger played with him 36 holes, and he said he just hardly ever misses a shot. He hits the ball so solid. And that's the important thing in the win, right, T-Dub?
Oh, 100%. And the thing about Augusta National is the more times you play it, the more times you know where to miss it whenever you have to. We saw some situations where some first-timers, Louvid, Aubert, and Wyndham Clark on 15, for example, both hit their wedge shots and spun them back off the green. Those are sometimes things that you see more traditional players. They'll be able to lay up into a better spot to give them a little bit more advantageous look into that hole. And to make your point, Huntman, about how hard hole 11 played yesterday, there was only one birdie out of every golfer. That was Kurt Kitayama. There was 46 pars and there were 42 bogeys or worse. So there's almost as many bogeys or worse as there were pars or birdies. The hole played at 4.63 shots, so it played closer to a par 5 than it did a par 4.
I was watching the replay last night, and they're going, a guy finally hit the green, and they go, he's the first one that's hit the green out of the last number of groups. They couldn't reach the green at number 11.
Unbelievable. And if you want to know the difference between Rory McIlroy and Scottie Scheffler, look at their second shots at 11. Scottie just hits a nice low bullet stinger to the right side of the green, and Rory flutters one up into the wind. What's it do?
Water.
Drops down into a watery grave.
Double.
Let's talk about Scottie Scheffler.
My pick, Tito.
Let's talk about Scottie Scheffler, guys. I mean, what can we say? It's been a pretty flawless 2 rounds from Scottie Scheffler. In the second round, he goes out and shoots even par in the windiest part of the day. First day, he shoots 6 under par. T-Dub, what have you seen so far from Scottie Scheffler?
Well, that first day was just exceptionally solid golf. Bogey free, 6 birdies in there. He actually parred every par 4. He played the par 5s at 3 under par, and then he played the par 3s at 3 under par. The only par that he had on par 3 was number 4. He parred the other ones, and then the only par he had on par 5 was number 8. He birdied the rest of those as well. And then to go out yesterday, still shoot even par. It was a weird situation on 13, right? Because he hit such a good drive that he almost had to go for it at that point when a lot of players were laying up out to the right, giving a wedge shot, which I think may have ended up costing Scottie Scheffler that bogey that he had on 13 coming in. But then he had a little bit of a tough stretch there between 5 and 7. He missed a 2.5 or 3 footer on 5 where he was 25 feet for birdie. So that easily should have been a par. So he had a few mistakes in there, but doing as what we expect from Scotty Scheffler. He's gaining more than a shot approach this week, gaining more than a shot off the tee. He's actually gaining almost 2.5 shots around the green, so he's chipping the ball exceptionally well. And the putter, what do you know, Sam? Just barely gaining strokes on the field in that category. For comparison, Max Homan's gaining more than 2 shots on the greens. Bryson is gaining just a smidge below 2 shots on the greens. So they're almost, they're a shot and a quarter, or a shot and 3/4 better on the greens than Scottie Scheffler has been so far this tournament. And Scottie Scheffler's tied for the lead, so it's going to be interesting to see, can those guys' putters keep staying hot and maybe be able to separate, or Scottie Scheffler's ball striking going to keep up? And he could just make 1 or 2 more putts, as he has not been able to do this last 36 holes. Then he can go out and run away with it by 5 or 6 shots, as we had talked about leading up to this tournament.
Now, Dad, back in 2022 when he won the Masters, he, you know, was in first place in the official world golf rank, first in the official world golf ranking, you know, had a 36-hole score at Augusta of 136. This year, 138, 6 under par. He was in first place, but he led by 5 shots. Do you think that Scottie Scheffler may be a little bit less of a favorite? Like, how much percentage? I kept trying to figure this out last night, and Data Golf has it right now as Scottie Scheffler, 49% chance to win the golf tournament, the field, 51% chance. I think Scottie Scheffler has a higher percent chance than that, but if you're looking at Data Golf, it's just based off the numbers and not the intimidation factor of Scottie Scheffler being up there as well.
Yeah, when you asked me that last night, I said, you know, 60 was my guess at what they said. I realize he's in a 3-way tie, and so normally you wouldn't give a guy over a 50% chance, but all the other players in the field outside of DeChambeau and Homa are spotting Scottie Scheffler strokes. Look, anything can happen in 36 holes, a lot of golf to play. But I wouldn't want to be spotting Scottie Scheffler, number one player in the world, strokes for 36 holes around Augusta National right now, because there's no part of his game. That's what we've talked about all week. It was putting last year. He still had his moments of bad putting this year. He even missed a short putt the other day, you know, from about 3 feet. But it looks like he's got the putting under control, but just ball striking, we've talked about it all week long. No weaknesses. Yesterday, 3 birdies, 3 bogeys. I was there, T-Dub, when he hit that second shot into the creek at 13. He was shocked because he thought it looked like it was struck well. He thought he hit it like he wanted to. He just misjudged the wind. The wind was so tough to judge. It's always tough down at A-Man Corner, you know, at 12 and 13. They sit so low and so forth. Just tough to judge it. And I think he thought he had the right club. He hit it well. I think maybe he just had the wrong club at 13, because he was stunned when that ball went into the creek.
And, guys, I cannot stand Brandel Chamblee when it comes to where we are in the world of golf and the future of golf, but Brandel is great when breaking down statistics. And I saw this on Live From last night, and Scottie Scheffler from 50 to 125 yards is leading the tour, and his proximity to the hole is 13 feet, 1 inch. Tour average is 19 feet, 9 inches from 50 to 125. To put that in perspective, T-Dub, the best we have ever seen from 50 to 125 yards is Steve Stricker back in 2012, where he averaged 18 feet, 10 inches. Scottie Scheffler is averaging so far in 2024, 13 feet, 1 inch. So, hold on, I'm not done yet. From 150 to 175 yards, the best we've ever seen is Tiger Woods back in 2006, who averaged 21 feet, 11 inches. Tour average was 28 feet, 7 inches. Scottie Scheffler, so far in 2024, from 150 to 175, is averaging 21 feet, even better from 150 to 175 than prime Tiger Woods.
And the tour average, you said, is 29? He's averaging 8 feet better than tour average?
Correct, right now.
On that, from 50 to 175. That's incredible.
From 150 to 175. So from 150 to 175, he's 8 feet better proximity to the hole. From 50 to 125, T-Dub, right now he is about 7 feet better than tour average.
What's so funny is that during the offseason, we had talked about what's going to happen first with Scottie Scheffler. Is the putting going to get better and the irons stay the same, or is the irons going to regress and the putter
We never talked about the irons getting better.
The irons can get better, and they have, which is unbelievable. He was one of the – last year, he's by far the best ball striker off the tee, and with the irons. And this year, man, he's gaining almost 0.3 shots more with the irons than he did last year. How did we not even think to consider that Scottie Scheffler could get better of a monumental year that he had last year?
It's truly unbelievable.
That is truly. What's the number Sam just gave to be eight feet better from 150 to 175, and on the 50 to 125, where he's at 13 feet 1 inch, and the tour average is 19.9.
That's correct.
To be 6 feet 8 inches better than tour average. That's just off the charts. I'm sorry.
It really is. And you saw it. Like for instance, on 15, he just hits that nice little wedge back there, skips it back there, one hop, stop to 8 feet when everyone's either coming up short or going over 15 green when they lay up. It's just the little things that Scottie Scheffler does so much better than everybody else. We'll talk more about Scottie Scheffler, but let's talk about the third guy on top of the leaderboard. That's Bryson DeChambeau. Now, he did shoot one over in the second round, but it wasn't a classic one over par round where you walk off the course upset. He even three putted the last hole, but he said he was very pleased with his second round. T-Dub, why do you think that is?
Well, the conditions were just so tough out there. To be able to go out and shoot anything below 75, which was about, I think the scoring average was above that. It was 3.08, so yeah, I played just above 75. So shoot anything better than that out there in those conditions, very, very telling. And yesterday, in the second round, he gained almost three shots off the tee. He hit his driver exceptionally well, hit some bombs down there. They said on 17 he had a drive that they had never seen anyone hit. He was inside of 100.
Hey, T-Dub, I was going to talk about that. I was right. Triple J, Jim Lowry, and I were right behind the tee. I mean, I could almost reach out and touch him at 17 tee box, all right? That was the most massive bomb I have ever seen. It looked like it came out of a cannon. And then to come home and see the replay and see that first bounce, did you see that? It looked like it hit a trampoline.
What did Brandel call them yesterday? Laser-guided missiles?
Well,
I mean, unbelievable.
That drive went 372 yards. The hole is 440. I'm not very good with the new math, but that means it was 68 yards, and we walked up, and we were on the left side right by the green. I mean, right in perfect position to see the layup. And with Jim looked at it, and Jim said, that's not much over 60 yards, and or not surely not over 70. It was 68 from the middle. I'm not sure exactly where the pin maybe was a little bit back, but that is incredible to me. And here's a guy with not a good track record on this course that we've talked about before. This is his eighth Masters and T21 in 2016. The year he was the low am in 2016 when he was an amateur. That's the best he's ever done here. And I know it's not all about driving, but when you can drive it like he is the last few days. And T-Dub, talk about this. He's playing with brand new irons this week that he's never played before.
Yeah, he's playing with some 3D printed irons that got approved by the USGA on Monday. What a weird, unique situation.
So, T-Dub, explain to the listener out there, obviously drivers nowadays, these big drivers, you know, 420cc, 460cc, but my point is the club face is not flat. It has a bulge in the middle, and it rolls to the edges, and the roll is really, if you're looking at it from the side, and it kind of rolls off the bottom and rolls off the top. So irons, classically, forever, no one ever thought to do that with irons, but irons are flat on the club face. What the bulge does, correct me if I'm wrong, T-Dub, you're more of the golf equipment expert than I am, but what the bulge on the club face does is it adds forgiveness. I can't explain it. Maybe you can.
Yes, that's fairly the simple way to put it. Whenever they say, you'll hear the term bulge and roll. Bulge is the curvature from the heel to the toe part
Correct.
Of the club.
Yes.
And the roll is from essentially the top to the bottom of the club there. And essentially what that does is it allows, if you hit an off-center hit, the compression's a little bit different. So it's, instead of it spraying all over the place, it's going to kind of go a little bit more straight, kind of more.
So if you hit it off the heel, it's not going to cut as much.
Correct, yes. It's why a lot of these modern drivers, right, you hit a little heel shot, it's still going to, it's not going to lose as much distance, and it's still going to go fairly straight comparatively to what they did 10 years ago. Very similar to what they're trying to do with the irons, but it is unique to have a 3D printed iron out there. That is a pretty cool thing to see. And to go back to the point of Bryson's drive yesterday on 17, at that time of it, I didn't see the final yardages on the drives, but at the time it was the longest drive by over 30 yards out of anyone else that played the hole. So that is that is pretty cool.
Out there by itself. Yeah, I saw the chart on that. Yeah, it looked like he was playing a different hole. But, and he did hit a nice little pitch up there, but he missed that putt. But the wind, it's hard to explain how much wind like a green like 17 is getting in, and especially when you get to 9 and T-Dub, I'm amazed that the ball stayed on the greens at 9 and 18. I'm amazed they didn't have to take a suspension play just to keep the ball on the green at 9 and 18.
No doubt. We need to hit a break here on the 73rd Hole radio show sponsored by Enjoy Vision. But after the break, we can dive more into Bryson's stats. And I also want to ask my dad what he was pointing at on TV last night on 15 T-Box watching Scottie Scheffler. We'll dive into all of that on Oklahoma's leader in golf, Taylor Williams, Craig Humphreys live from Augusta. This is Sam Humphreys. Stay with us after the break. And we're back here on the 73rd Hole radio show. Sam Humphreys, Taylor Williams, Craig Humphreys live in Augusta. Sponsored by Enjoy Vision. Go visit Dr. Holstead and Dr. Roby. Save $400 off of LASIK by using the promo code SAM400. If you were thinking about getting LASIK done, Enjoy Vision is the best place to do it. EnjoyWithMe.com. That's N-J-O-Y withme.com. Enter promo code SAM400. Fellas, we had a bunch of viral moments. We are halfway through the Masters. It seems to always happen. One of them was Bryson DeChambeau yesterday when he was playing the 13th hole, hit his drive way right in the trees, and had to move a giant clubhouse this way sign, you know, restrooms that way sign, pulled that thing out of the ground. Yeah, concessions. And so he was able to play his shot into the 14 fairway and then ended up making birdie in true Bryson form on 13 out of the 14 fairway, almost really left of 14. That's how far right he was on 13. And we also had the Hump Man with a viral moment yesterday as well. The Hump Man was behind Scottie Scheffler on 15T. Dad, take it away. Tell us what you were seeing.
Okay, well, first of all, on DeChambeau, we Jim and I were right there when he played that second shot at 13, and I'm wondering where in the heck he's going because he was deep in the woods, and he did have an easy route to a pitch out, which would have left him a long way away, but he was clearly, like you said, Sam, aimed right. I couldn't tell where the ball went when he hit it, and then, like you said, he really ended up on the little spectator path right in front of the tee box to the left of the 14 tee, that the patrons can watch the action on the 13 green and the 14 tee. So he was on that path. So he was actually to the golfer's left of 14 where he played his third shot. Anyway, on number 15, when Jim and I were behind the 15 tee, and I always like to get right behind the tee, teed up, so I can see what the golfer sees. And this is a great course to do that. And you can get right behind most of the tee boxes. Number two, you can only get, you know, to the left side. You can get back to just to the left of the tee box. But on most of the holes, you can get right behind the tee box and see what they see. Now, it was hard to see those tee shots at 15. I wish we had, the TrackMan lines at the course as a spectator because we were looking right into the setting sun at the time. But right before Scheffler hit his tee shot, he backed away what seemed like two or three times because these gusts, the normal gust is like, 3 to 5 seconds, something like. These gusts were like 8 to 10 seconds. I mean, just huge gusts of wind that I've never seen, like I said, in the 35 years. But we were seeing everything. Well, on 17, right before that, we had seen DeChambeau's tee shot. And, Sam, you were here last year when those pines, Augusta, I don't know what they're called, Georgia pines, whatever they're called, that are 100 feet tall, literally. And last year, three of them fell down. Now, they had a lot more rain and so forth last year. And luckily, no one was hurt. And the next day, you couldn't even tell that it happened. But it happened right in front of the 17 tee box. And we're there, and we were just ironically talking to this guy that was there. And right when it happened last year, he was right there and saw it happen. And those pines were – I've never seen these pine trees swaying that – I mean, they were just swaying back and forth, just incredible. That was at 17. Well, then we fast forward to 15, and I look up to the right of 50, and we're seeing everything come out of these trees, pine cones, limbs. I can't tell you how many limbs I saw come out of trees yesterday. And I'm seeing all this stuff come out, and – of course, Scheffler backed off, but I'm wondering, how can you hit a golf ball, number one, in that wind, and number two, not knowing what's going to come out of these trees next, you know, as you hit your shot. But I'm pointing up what I saw to Triple J, and turns out that got on camera, and then CBS panned up into
the
tree.
That was my favorite part of the video, is the cameraman from CBS clearly saw the hump man pointing up and had to know what he was pointing at, Tito.
They wanted to know what was going to happen next, and we did too.
If people haven't seen the video, the camera pans from Scottie Scheffler, and you can see my dad in the background, and the camera just pans up to the trees to where my dad was pointing. It's hilarious.
They're like,
we weren't trying to get on camera. We were just trying to keep away from the tree in case they did fall. But
everyone was mystified by what in the world is up in that tree. We had to get it figured out. But to what y'all's point that y'all have been saying about the wind is two things. On a course like this with a lot of trees and the wind blows like this, it makes it extremely difficult because you'll have points that are more exposed to the wind by trees. You'll have parts that aren't. You'll have the wind coming over the trees down into the gullies in the valley, especially down in Amen Corner when it's so low, makes it extremely tricky. And then you have greens that are more exposed than others to wind, and I could not imagine having to putt those greens with the amount of wind they had yesterday.
Like number nine. Dad, explain to people who haven't been out to Augusta National how that is the highest part of the golf course.
That's the high, the number one tee box, number one tee box, number nine green, number 10 tee box, number 18 green are all at the highest point of the golf course. The lowest point of the golf course is Amen Corner, obviously 12 green, 12, 13 green are at the very lowest part of the golf course, right, T-Dub?
Yes, they are, absolutely, yeah. And that's the thing that people don't realize is that different holes on the course are so much higher or lower than the other ones, and then depending on how the trees are laid out in the direction of the wind, that course is going to play differently every 5 or 6 minutes, let alone over
that's
the course.
That's what makes 12 at Augusta so tricky, is it's so low that you can't feel the wind because the pine trees are so high.
Yes, and it's you're trying to look up and see the trees, and 1 minute it's blowing this way, but then you look over and this flag's blowing that way, that tree's blowing this way, you throw up the grass and it goes a completely different way.
That's what I was just saying.
There's no way to prognosticate it whatsoever. You just have to guess, and that's what makes these guys the best, is that you can guess, and that's one of the things that we'll talk about Tiger in a little bit. Whenever you don't play competitively enough over the – he's played 20-something holes over the course of this entire year. It's hard to be able to judge the wind when it blows as hard as it did.
Jim and I went down to number 12. We were sitting right behind the tee box at number 12. We saw our man Marty Head, who's a longtime marshal at number 12. He's seen it all right, over the last 12 years. And he says, look at this, guys, and you look at the number, the flag at number 11 is blowing one way, and the flag at number 12 is blowing exactly the opposite way. How do you know what to do on that tee box?
No, that's crazy. Before we get off the TV stuff, I do want to read this. ESPN's Thursday coverage of the Masters drew 3.2 million viewers on average. That's the highest number for an opening day since 2015. So it makes sense, Dad, that I got about 50 text messages saying that you were on TV when it happened. So you don't realize how many people are actually watching the
Masters. All right, let's get back to the tournament.
That's right. We had to talk about the hump man on TV, but let's talk about Tiger. How about Tiger Woods making the cut at 48 years old? He's wrapped up like a mummy. His back is wrapped up. Obviously, the leg's wrapped up. You know, he's limping around, but at the same time, he just knows how to play Augusta National. Currently, Tiger is one over par through 36 holes. He'll tee off at 11:45 Central Time, 12:45 Eastern Time. He's tied for 22nd before he tees off for his third round, T-Dub. This is absolutely remarkable. He's played 24 holes, completed one round in 2024. What he has done these past 2 days is truly remarkable.
Considering he played the same amount of holes yesterday that he has before this tournament, all of calendar of 2024, and to see that it seemed like starting off yesterday, his body was really hurting him. It looked like he had not gotten much rest. He had a little bit of limp going on. But then it seemed like as the day went along, especially the times where they would show his ball speed numbers, they didn't seem to dip very low. One hole on the back on the last nine holes that he played, he got 180 ball speed, which is very, very encouraging to see that the body wasn't extremely deteriorating coming down the stretch. And the thing that's been magical this week, Sam, has been the short game. He's gaining more than a shot and a half around the greens and gaining three quarters of a shot on the greens, which is something we talked about with Tiger, is he just hadn't been the same putter that he had been when he was at the prime of his career. And him being able to putt very solid this week, making a whole bunch of 4 and 5 footers for par to keep momentum and rounds going, has been very, very pivotal. And you look at it too, so far in the first round, he had 11 fairways. In the second round, he had 10 fairways. So both rounds hitting double digit fairways is very good. Only hit 9 greens in the first round, 8 greens in the second round. A lot of times he's just trying to position himself to make sure that he has a somewhat easy up and down, because he knows that obviously he's not firing on all cylinders. But had the nice chip in yesterday on 6, was able to make birdies at 3. That chip in, he did birdie 8 as well, then hit a beautiful 3 or 5 wood, whatever it was, into 15 to hit the green and secure himself a birdie there. So a lot of really good signs from Tiger. Had a few loose bogeys in there. The bogey he made on 4 wasn't extremely very good in there, and then he also bogeyed 14, didn't hit a very good approach shot there. But other than that, obviously you're going to see some loose things, a little bit, as I alluded to earlier, distance control problems with the wind. But the fact that he did make the cut, got the cut streak up to where he's now number one, he's not tied with Gary Player and Fred Couples anymore. He has the solo command of that cut streak. So I think that, in all honesty, is what he's shooting for, and to have a good tournament. Is he going to win this tournament? No. But to see him have a strong finish and hopefully play his next 36 holes healthy is going to be very, very encouraging to see, because we don't know how much more golf we'll get to see of him the rest of our lives.
And Max Homa obviously got to play with him for the first 2 days. And Max said his favorite memory from the last 2 days that he'll always remember is, quote, on 18, we had sandblast for 45 seconds, and I turned around 5 times so I didn't get crushed in the face. He's standing there talking about Tiger like a statue. Then he poured in his putt right in the middle. Max Homa went on to say, quote, all the old stories you hear about how he'll grind it out, it was fun to see that old Tiger in person. Deb, what did you see from Tiger this week, these first 2 days?
Well, yesterday, I mean, just to shoot 72 yesterday, I mean, normally, guys, we say you try to shoot even or one under on the front nine, make your score on the back nine. But when on the second nine, when 13 and 15 are playing into the wind like that, I mean, even par was very impressive on the second nine yesterday. And like you talked about his birdie at 15, that was so impressive. He just knows his way around this golf course. We've seen it before. We saw it with Freddie Couples, right, a year ago, when Freddie became the oldest ever to make the cut here at Augusta National. A guy like Tiger Woods, Sam, we said he's going to make the cut. And he did.
I didn't think he was. I just didn't think he had the form, but to your point, and why you were correct, is some guys just know how to play Augusta National, and it doesn't matter what the form is headed in.
So, anyway, no, what we've said it all, 24 straight, because he is proud of that. I know he wasn't here just to make the cut, but you got to be proud of 24 straight cuts, a new record here at Augusta National. One of the records he's proudest of is the 142, you know, PGA Tour, that cut streak on the PGA Tour. 142 is just off the charts. But now, can he do the 72 holes? I'm pulling for him.
No, I'm definitely pulling for him, too. Here's a list of the golfers he beat after the first 36 holes. Hatton, Koepka, Cantlay, Lowry, Zalatoris, Day, Phil Mickelson, Neiman, McIlroy, Finau, Rahm, Scott, Fowler, Matsuyama, Justin Thomas, who we need to talk about, Wyndham Clark, Victor Hovland, who we also need to talk about, Sam Burns, Brian Harman, Jordan Spieth, and Dustin Johnson. This guy, Tiger Woods, literally almost had his leg amputated, has only played 18 holes this year, had the bad boiler at Riviera, and all of a sudden goes out, and like Stuart Hagestad said, he goes, people don't realize how good these guys actually are. He goes, Tiger played one time over this past year and came out here and beat all of these amazing players. He goes, that's alien stuff, T-Dub. It really is.
It shows that all the greatness that he's done these last, was it three, almost three decades now, is shows that he is the best player of our generation by far. And obviously I wasn't around to see the other great players, that Jack Nicklaus and all those, but I don't know how you become a better player than what Tiger Woods has, and what he's doing now with all the body stuff that he's gone through is truly, truly spectacular. And as I mentioned earlier, we don't know how much more golf we will get to see of him. I think it is extremely, extremely important, no matter what sport it is. If there's a greatest of all time that's still playing, try to watch them when you can, because it truly is an honor. You never know. We will never have someone like Tiger Woods ever come around again. So don't take it for granted that he's getting to play these next two rounds out there watching. Go out of your way to watch some of his shots. I know people get mad. They're like, why do they keep showing Tiger on TV? He doesn't have any chance to win. It's because he's the best. He's the most polarizing figure in the game of golf. Appreciate him while he's here.
No doubt
Sam,
about it.
Yep. Hey, as we take a break, I do want to say thanks once again to all of our sponsors that have sponsored all of our reports this week, from Augusta, Johnson's of Kingfisher, our title sponsor, Golf USA. We've talked about Brad Bowen, Jeremiah, you know, David, all the guys down here this week. Kicking Bird, Brian Sorensen. We'll talk about Taylor Moore. He had a birdie yesterday, but Brian, his longtime teacher. And Kicking Bird Golf, Ed Lynn, Buffalo Wild Wings, Air Comfort Solutions, Jason White, and Crosslands Rental and Sales. Take it away, Sam.
Very good. Thank you to all those sponsors, as well as Enjoy Vision, Taylor Williams, Craig Humphreys, live from Augusta. This is Sam Humphreys. When we get back from break, we're going to talk about the Oklahoma guys and make our picks for the weekend at Augusta National. Stay with us after the break here on Oklahoma's Leader in Golf, the 73rd hole. And we're back for one final segment here on the 73rd hole radio show, halfway through the Masters edition. By the way, we'll be back tonight for a little recap show after the play concludes this evening around 6 o'clock, give or take, depending on how slow the play is at Augusta National. I know that Tyrrell Hatton wasn't very excited about the pace of play out at Augusta the last couple days, but we might be able to talk about that later on. The guy I want to talk to T-Dub right now about is Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas was standing on the 15 tee box yesterday at even par, and finishes 7 over par to miss the cut by one. JT missed 3 putts from 4 feet on 15, 16, and 17. That was insane to watch.
I'm sitting here and I'm going back just trying to recollect on the epic collapse that was Justin Thomas these last 4 holes. So on 15, he hits it left. He tries to hit this hook around the trees to get himself a nice down there in the layup. And he does the classic, if you're going to lay up, you need to lay up and stay short of the water. He does not do that. He goes in and pumps that layup right into the water. I don't see hardly anyone ever do that. But then hits a wedge over the green, proceeds to, it was technically a 2-putt because he's off the green, but 3-putted there. On 16, he puts it in the bunker on the right side, which you cannot hit it with that pin location. Then can't keep it up top, goes down. Then he 3-putts there. 17, he hits it over in the pine straw, hits it over the green, chips it up to 5 feet, misses it. And then 18, I'm watching it here. He hooks it, hits the trees just off the tee box left, hits it left again, hits it up, and then misses the little short bogey putt that he had. But to be able to have such an epic collapse like that, Sam, and he did something not to the same extent, but similar last year when he was playing with Tiger. All he had to do was play the last how many ever holes, just a couple over par, and he played them multiple over. So this is something that at this point seems to be in Justin Thomas's head. And it's interesting because we ripped him so much last year before he was picked for the Ryder Cup team. Actually started playing a little bit better golf after that point. Had a lot of top 10, top 5 finishes in there. And then over the last, really ever since the Genesis, Sam, when he missed the cut there, he did finish 12th at the Arnold Palmer, but has been extremely streaky since then, and with the putter as well. Extremely disheartening for Justin Thomas fans out there, because this is a collapse of epic, massive proportions.
And then, Dad, the guy I want to ask you about before we get to the Oklahoma guys is Ludvig Åberg, who had the round of the day yesterday. What did you see from him?
Well, before I get to Åberg, real quick, I'm glad I dumped JT as my dark horse.
Good call.
I changed on Wednesday. I went to Shane Lowry. And an almost epic collapse from Tyrrell Hatton. He was 3-under. And then he hits a second shot on 15 into the water, and now he's 2-over and paired with Tiger today. But to Åberg real quick, Sam, this guy, he's going to be one of the top players over the next decade. 69 yesterday, round of the day. How about this? 6 birdies yesterday? Are you kidding me? Birdies 2, 8, 9, 12, 13, and 16. So he birdied 3 of the 4 par 5s on a very tough day for par fives. His only bogeys at 5, 6, and 18. This guy is the real deal with a 69 yesterday that will be remembered as one of the great rounds I've ever seen.
T-Dub, what were your thoughts on the Oklahoma guys? Taylor Moore, Austin Eckroat. You also had Wyndham Clark and Victor Hovland. Tough scene for Victor Hovland, especially on the 15th hole. Tough scene for Wyndham Clark after taking a shot at the Live guys saying they only play 54 holes, so I like my chances. Well, Wyndham only played 36. And then you had Taylor Moore and Austin Eckroat, who, Dad, I know you had – let's start with Dad real quick, because I know you saw a cool scene on 11 and 12 on Amen Corner with Austin Eckroat and Taylor Moore.
Yeah, a very cool deal because both of them, of course, from – Edmund and grew up Oklahoma Golf Tour. Maury Rose has to be very happy because I look and there's Austin Eckroat just to the right of 11 green chipping right at the same time as Taylor Moore is hitting a tee shot at number 12. Very proud moment for Maury Rose.
T-Dub, what'd you see from all those guys this week? First 2 days.
Well, let's start with our man Taylor Moore, who was my dark horse for the week. He shoots a beautiful one under in the first round. One of the first groups out on the course gets in a little bit early before all the conditions pick up, and then starts the round yesterday going birdie eagle. So he's four under for the tournament at one point. I see him up there early in the leaderboard. I'm thinking, wow, this is some very great stuff. Unfortunately, through the middle part of the round when it was extremely tough, he had five bogeys and a double on 17 to set him back. Did close with a very clutch birdie on 18 there, so that is something to be able to give him some momentum going into the day. And then Victor Hovland, what a crazy deal. We're talking about Justin Thomas with a collapse. Hovland shoots one under in the first round. He's actually four under after the first nine of that round, proceeds to double 10, and then he shoots three over coming in to finish at one under. But then opens up yesterday with a bogey on one, and then hooks it left on two, and then hits a punch shot that KOs a tree and goes off. So he proceeds to make a triple on that hole. So he's four over through two. He doubles four and bogeys five. So he's seven over through five holes. That's not the way you want to start it at all. But then has a chance to make the cut and then proceeds to bogey 14 and then double 17 coming in, or 15 coming in. So you would tell
Victor.
By the
way, he is withdrawn from the RBC next week. That just came out this morning.
That is interesting to see. So you could have said to Victor Hovland, hey, all you had to do is break 80 in the second round and you make the cut. Unfortunately, he was not able to do that in tough conditions. And then Wyndham Clark, the other guy who apparently got to play, thought he was going to get to play 54 holes, and that was not the case. He was one under through his first five with one birdie on two and all pars on those other four holes. But then after that, he bogeyed 6, 7, 9, 10, 14, 15, and 17. Just a compounding of mistakes that leads to him not getting to play 54 more holes like he thought. He only got to play 18 more, Sam.
So, fellas, let's make our predictions. By the way, some players are already out on the golf course. For instance, Luke List is 3 under on his round. He's got it to 3 over. You got Matsuyama 2 under on his round through 6 holes. He's got it to 4 over par. Then other guys in red numbers, Fowler 1 under, Henley 1 under, Tom Kim 1 under, Siwoo Kim 1 under, and Grayson Murray 1 under as well. So possibly some low scores or at least some good starts from the leaders coming up today. Fellas, I hate to go chalk, but I'm going Scottie Scheffler and I'm sticking with my original prediction. Dab, what are your thoughts on how this weekend might play out?
I had Scotty number two. I'm going to have to move him up to number one after Rory's performance. Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah, can you stop picking Rory McIlroy?
Yeah,
I tried to tell you. I said
I've
picked
I've
him last
year. I've said it
the
last time many times. This is the last time.
Here go ahead, Augusta.
D-Dub. Yeah, was it fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. However the phrase goes. But at this point, it's like
right,
time
D-Dub.
55 to pick Rory because I'm in the same boat, man. But Scottie Scheffler, my pick, as he was with many others to start the week, I'm not going to change now considering he's tied for the lead. Daddy Golf has an about 45% chance to win. Bryson's down at 21%. Max Homa's down at just above 12%. I don't think it – or let me rephrase. I think it could go two different ways. It depends if any of these guys at 6 under go out and shoot a 68 or better today and get to double digits. It's going to be hard for anyone else behind them to catch up, considering out of those three, Colin Morikawa is the fourth best chance at 4.2%, which isn't very high. So this could turn into a three-horse race very quickly. Scottie Scheffler, the front runner on that, I think, will be the case. But Bryson playing as well as he has, putting as well as he has, I think will be interesting. And then the fact that Bryson and Max haven't had the best course history here, it's going to be interesting to see if they can keep the momentum they've had for 72 holes as opposed to just only 36 as they have up to this point.
Fellas, that flew by, but we do have to go here on the 73rd Hole Radio Show. Dad, thank you so much. Say one more time, give a thank you to our sponsors.
You bet. Johnson's Golf USA, Kicking Bird, Buffalo Wild Wings, Air Comfort Solutions, and Crossland Rental and Sales will have a full wrap-up at the conclusion of play tonight.
Very good. T-Dub, thanks. We'll talk tonight. This has been Sam Humphries on Oklahoma's Leader in Golf, the 73rd Hole Radio Show. Everyone enjoy the golf coming up on this Masters Saturday.